Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles. Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour. Time for us to talk to a friend of the show we haven't talked to in a little while. It's Doug Ross on the line. Doug, how you doing?
Hey, Russ, it's Doug. I'm great. We're down in the D.C. area, actually in Maryland.
That's right, out there.
And we recently had the applications all sent in for the first time ever. Maryland will have medical marijuana.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because last time we spoke to you in your capacity as director, filmmaker with the movie A Normal Life. Just so we can fill people in on that, how did the movie do? Did you get any more response from it?
We got a huge response. We worked with Normal in the D.C., the main organization. And from there, we spread the films to all the different chapters, as many as we could. We also put it on their Normal website. So anytime anybody watched it while it was streaming or even downloaded it, the money went to Normal's organization. We donated that to them so to help their organization keep going strong. Also, I got a call from the Annapolis, which is the capital of Maryland, some state senators, and they said they'd seen it. They were looking at medical marijuana becoming legal, and they wanted to show the video. And I said, by all means, I can bring you the witnesses and the people that were in the film, some of them, and they can testify at the state capitol. And they did.
Wow.
About 6 months later, suddenly, lo and behold, I got a note. They said they passed it. And I want to think, I'm being pigheaded here. I'm thinking, oh, yes, it was me that our film was the one that was the tipping point. But I don't think so. I don't think so. But I think we all helped as a community. And so the film is still showing on Hulu, and it was on Netflix and Redbox, and it just sort of filtered out everywhere.
Now, Maryland approved their medical marijuana. It became effective June 1st of last year, 2014. The approved conditions include cachexia, anorexia, wasting syndrome, severe or chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, severe or persistent muscle spasms, or other conditions. Have they changed any of that? Are there any new conditions that you're aware of that have been added?
Not that I know of. They haven't added anything new. In fact, this past June of this year, they did the regs and regulations and the rules. And we looked very closely to see if anything had added. They had not added any more ailments that were known at this point. But I don't think it's the book is closed on that. With that, they gave everybody notice that there were going to be applications present for anybody that wanted to be a grower, a processor, or a dispensary owner. Mm-hmm. And they said it was going to come out sometime around the first week of September. So basically everybody was looking at this 900-page, whatever it was, and trying to figure out what do they want to know on these applications. Mm-hmm. And so we waited and we waited and waited, and the things never appeared until the last few days of September. And everybody looked at this, and they were stunned that none of the questions were really, anything you could have gleaned out of the regulations and the rules. Hmm. There was a lot of hypothetical questions and things, and it was kind of shocking. Huh. But we were prepared. Everybody that knew knew that they were going to try to go sideways on this thing because it's their first time, and Maryland's never had this in the state, not like you guys in Oregon and California. Or even Colorado, and so, but the problem was that they didn't close they closed the date at the same time. So now instead of 2 months, you had less than 5 weeks to create the application and apply on time on the deadline.
Now,
what
was the deadline?
It was the now that you said the 7th of November.
Okay. Okay.
And so basically we had very, very little time. No, excuse me, not the 7th of November. It was the 28th. So The point being is the time was really short, and so we were really struggling to try to get everything answered on time.
Yeah.
And they were applying these different percentages of the question. They gave it points, in other words. So if you didn't answer one question, they'd shade it a little more points higher or lower, depending on what you were doing. It was a very oddball way of doing it.
Okay, so you were applying for one of these dispensary licenses, right?
Correct.
Right. Now, do you know how many of the producer, processor, and dispensary licenses they're going to give out?
Yes, there are basically 94 dispensaries in all of the. They're using the different senatorial districts,
okay.
The Senate districts, and so there's about 42, and you're going to have two per district.
Okay, so 94, and according to a press release here from the Medical Cannabis Commission there, November 12th, they said there were 705 applications for those 94 dispensary licenses, and you're one of those applicants.
Right, and the others were for growers and processors.
Gotcha.
And the total was over 900.
Okay.
Totally.
Wow. So you've got about a 1 in 7, 1 in 8 chance of succeeding here. But like you said, there's a point system going on here. And have you found any problems with that? Does it seem fair?
Well, the point system, I wasn't bothered by that at all. Because it gives everybody a fair shot, I thought. And you could answer the questions to prove, you know, your experience in business, your experience with the medical marijuana field and so forth. And we had, it wasn't just me. I brought in a medical doctor who'd had 35 years in the pharmaceutical business industry. I brought in a pharmacist who's also been in the business about 12 years and was a veteran. And so, and then we had a security team because there was a really big section on how are you going to secure all this and make sure, you know, the system was protected. And so I had all these people, and these guys were ex-FBI agents from D.C. So, and all these people are from Maryland. So that's another point I was trying to get at, is that my team was all Maryland-raised and worked, and so we were trying to make a community dispensary that does work toward veterans. That was one of our big ideas, because that's what we've been doing for years. I've been down in D.C. working at the Walter Reed as a volunteer, and worked with all different groups in the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area. But back to the marijuana thing, is that we had a team, and we showed that we were Maryland people. Now, one thing that was odd is that there's other groups that we were meeting, the Maryland Baltimore Women's Grow group, which is up from Baltimore, but they're not necessarily there. They would have meetings all over the state, and different people would show up, processors, growers, dispensary people that are all applying, and we were all comparing notes and things. We started noticing that the scuttlebutt or the rumor was that there were all these people coming across the D.C. border and from Colorado that were coming in and putting money in every senatorial district. This was out-of-state money, corporations, big-time groups that already had businesses in the Midwest and in the West, and they were using a proxy to because you have to be a Maryland resident, of course. And so if you look at the list of 900, you see the same names in every district. So they were spending, what is it, $1,000 for each dispensary. You know, it's $90,000, right?
Right.
And so we were a little, taken back, and we're like, well, wait a minute. And we would find out who these groups were. And I'm not claiming foul. I'm just saying that, you know, we wanted as a community to keep the money in Maryland. So when these, the sales go to the patients, and that's what we're here for, is the patients. This money is going to be what, trucked out, daily in boxcars, in armored cars toward Colorado, whereas we wanted to keep the money here to help the community. That was part of the whole idea, was not only to give needed medicine to veterans and to citizens here, but the rewards would be to put the money back into the community.
Right.
That was all our whole idea. And so now we see all these groups from out of state And there's nothing we can do in the process because it's out of our hands, and we have until, I think, mid-January, and they may announce something.
So,
but, you know, to be fair, we just wanted it fair and treated fairly. I thought if these guys that were the big corporations, they could put their resources into the communities far from Baltimore and Rockville, the two major cities, out toward where people are not, probably wealthy enough, and it's hard for them to access. We would feel it would be fair out there. But, you know, it's out of our hands, I say, and I wish for the best. I hope the whole thing works out for the patients and for the veterans and for the community. My wife and I own a full-service spa with Chinese medicine. We've got, acupuncture. We've been treating patients for years, and it's all about health and wellness. We were not in this to make the gazillion dollars. We were basically adding this to our portfolio of businesses.
Yeah, you're pretty much illustrating what the big shift is now in marijuana reform, from being an activist-led on the legalization side and a compassion-led thing on the medical side, to now being an industry-led thing where people are looking to make a buck on this. We've been speaking with Doug Ross here, the director of A Normal Life, and he's also an applicant for a medical marijuana dispensary, one of 90-some-odd of them in the state of Maryland. And we've got about a minute here before we got to wrap things up, Doug. So is there, if people want to contact you and learn more about what's going on, or visit your dispensary once it exists in Maryland, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, right now the company is called MJMD, and we're at mjmd.info if you needed to get in hold of us. That's the best way. Otherwise, acuspamd@gmail.com. Or acuspamd.com. That's our spa. That's where we do our medicine things.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised with Maryland being kind of a small state that you're going to have over 90 dispensaries.
I know. It is odd. What are we going to be, like Starbucks every 10 feet?
I'm not against that.
I know. But we have to start. But I just wanted this process to be fair. That was all. And to help the patients. And I get that it's going to be industry-wide. And there was a guy who just quit one of the national committees of marijuana because he said he was fed up that, like you said, it's all corporations taking over.
Yeah, Dan Riffle and of Marijuana Policy Project.
I was at this one meeting, and this guy says, "What are you, against capitalism or something?" And I said, "No, I'm just for fairness."
That's right. Hey, Doug, that's all the time we got, but thank you for joining us here, and keep us posted about what happens there in the state of Maryland, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Russ. Have a great night.
All right, thank you so much. And folks, check out A Normal Life if you haven't already, because, well, for one thing, I'm in it. Not for much, but I'm in it a little bit. At least got me in the Internet Movie Database, and that's good. Hey, when we come back, it's time for the Reformer's Reader, and we'll be speaking with Joshua Sheets, the author of Homegrown Marijuana.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.